All right. Welcome back, everybody, to episode 4 of Something Wrong with the Podcast. We're back, baby. It's Tuesday. Before I go anywhere, call in with any problems you got. 877-557-SWWP to get in contact with me, your intrusive thought therapist. We have some amazing calls coming later in this episode, guys, so stick around. Before we go anywhere, it seems like there's one story that's really taken over the timeline. Well, one seemingly that I thought had taken over the timeline, the Montoya. But before we get to that, unfortunately, Kanye is on his another spiral. It's his first of these in 5 years. And I just have to play this soundbite from his late registration album.
Wake up, Mr. West!
Now, it seems like Kanye is gone. And if it seems that way, it's because, let's be honest, he is. In an effort to get attention, he's spiraling. He's on another rant. Remember 5 years ago, his rant was very pro-Trump. He wore the red hat. He was very directive about kind of untethering some of these extreme neo-Nazi right-wing thoughts that he was having. And it wasn't until someone like Candace Owens kind of leached onto him and empowered him and made him feel like what he was saying should be said, and it should be said louder, and it should be said on public television, it should be said on news networks, that Kanye felt, remember that epic Alex Jones rant that happened as well a few years ago, Kanye found the right people to link up with to continue to get, you know, all of the access, and he found his home. He found a home with this crowd. The problem is now, okay, let's go through some of the things that happened with this week's and weekends, and currently probably today's rant. Kanye's potentially lost $20 million tour deal because of the Grammy stone Bianca. If you were on my live stream, and I encourage you to watch it, I talked extensively about Bianca's outfit and Kanye's and her appearance at the Grammys. No need to get into that right now. Travis Scott and numerous celebrities unfollowed him. I think in this case, that's a good move. You might as well just separate yourself as much as possible, especially when you're someone like Travis, where you guys are by sex, the same family. You're all involved with the Kardashians. And then even, you know, the streamer, one of my favorites, Kai Cenat, addressed it as well. He went on here and said this about Kanye.
That's the elephant in the room. I seen the tweets, my nigga. I seen the tweets. I don't know what's going on, bro. I think it's GG's. Hey, look. I think it is GG's. I don't know, bro. I think. Bro, it's crazy, bro. I don't know, bro. It's crazy. It's just back to back to back. I don't know. I think it's GG's. It's GG's, bro. I don't know, bro. I literally don't know.
Now, if you were unaware, Kai was going to do a live stream with Kanye, which is canceled. And if you're not a part of the gaming community, GG's basically means like good game. Like, yo, I'm out. Like, that was what was supposed to happen is no longer happening. Let's separate some ties here, which is smart, obviously, on Kai's spot. So, before I get into more of this Kanye stuff and some of the specific tweets as well, I do want to separate his mental disorder of being bipolar. And I know he came out and said, I was never bipolar. I was just autistic. I'm not a doctor, but come on. When someone is bipolar, yes, you're susceptible to two more things. You have a kind of the ability to fall for, you know, these things, but that's being bipolar doesn't mean you're by default a neo-Nazi. I think this is Kanye. This is who Kanye is. And the narcissist in him, I think, is really, really taking the front, the pole position in this whole thing with him, because when you're a narcissist, again, the shelf the mental bipolar stuff aside, when you're a narcissist, I think he still believes in his own power. And I think he's doing this shock jock kind of tactics to see how far he can go, how far can my loyal fans, how far can I go before my loyal fans eventually lose hold of me or don't want to be a part of me? How I can sell shirts with swastikas on it. I can say I'm Adolf Hitler. I can say I love Hitler. I can say all of these things and my fans will still find a way to roll with me because those are my fans. So he's playing a dangerous game because like any narcissist, attention is your biggest tool. And this is the way he's going about attention now. I think it's very safe to say Kanye hasn't been relevant in music or anything creatively. I'm trying to honestly think perhaps the Donda album, the collab show he did with Drake, where we saw we saw him like positive in the light for that free Larry Hoover show where none of the money went to Larry Hoover, whatever the hell they were actually doing with that. But I mean, I think you can boil Kanye down to childlike tactics. Everything he's doing is the way a kid throws a tantrum. When a kid isn't getting the very thing they want, they throw something, or they, you know, a baby shits their diaper, or, you know, anything that makes you, the adult in the room, drop everything they're doing and care to the baby. This is what Kanye's doing. I mean, outbreaks are the lowest form, or like the lowest common denominator. And this outbreak is exactly what you'd expect from someone like Kanye, who's done it in the past. And he's also apparently and allegedly off camera and off Twitter, when I believe when he was in Africa and even in China and Japan for a while, he's been saying the things he says in person are far worse than the things he's tweeting and saying now publicly. So he is this guy. This is who Kanye is. This isn't, I don't think this is a bit. I don't think this is an act. But he's just cherry picking the lowest form of tactics. You see, you know, when a comedian's bombing, or if they feel like they're losing a crowd, or if they feel like they're losing their career, they'll go the neo-Nazi. I'm a counterculture guy. I don't believe in. It's just the lowest hanging fruit. It's not. You're not smart. You're not special. It's not unique. There obviously is a huge audience for it. This whole thing with, you don't want to know the truth, the Jews this, the counter, the woke media that, you're saying all these things onto a platform that Elon has done his very best to make anti-Semitic and anti-Israel. I mean, you're saying this to the right. Where else would you say this? You're saying it to the right demo by going on to X. Elon's, and this is with Kanye in particular, I would not be surprised if this has already happened. I'm sure Candace Owens is back talking to Kanye. I believe Elon, as well as Trump's team, have reached out to Kanye. And I think that they're encouraging or not stopping this behavior. I don't want to say like they're like, yeah, keep it up. But I think that there's a twinkle in their eye when they see someone as influential and as important as Kanye going through an episode and pushing rhetoric to the extreme that they echo, but Kanye just says it band-aid off. I think it makes them feel comfortable to tap his line and, you know, oh, you know, Kanye, we'll give you, if you tweet, you know, this amount of time throughout the day, or if you only speak on X, we'll give you so and such amount of dollars. I think that's important for Kanye. Because obviously he's about his money. He loves talking about how he's a billionaire two times over now, almost 3 million. We'll see how much that changes after this rant. We've seen people just, the powers that be in the political spectrum. I think the whole skit on Key and Peele where we have Bush and then Black Bush, where Keegan-Michael Key plays, not Bush, sorry, pardon me, Obama and Black Obama. And, Jordan Peele plays Black Obama while Keegan-Michael Key plays like the polished political Obama. And he's like, we need to get the, you know, America needs to put our people first. And then, you know, Black Bush comes in and does the whole like, and does it, gives it to you straight. Kanye can be the give it to you straight guy. And by give it to you straight, I mean, obviously everything he's saying is just wrong and awful and abhorrent. But he's saying the very things that a right-wing extremist and neo-Nazi political people are screaming, you know, at Fox News at night. So there's a love for what Kanye's doing from a certain community, and that's what's scary. What's also scary, one of the many things that's scary about this, is he's got kids that are old enough now to see what, and let's talk about, you know, Kanye and the family itself. His children aren't kids anymore. They're not babies. They're aware of what's going on. They're sentient. They can understand these outbursts, and they can understand the consequences that come with them. And you're damn right. These consequences have a ripple effect. They're going to affect his kids directly. People will look at his kids a certain way because of the shit that he's saying. And I know not a lot of people have sympathy for the Kardashians of any kind. More often, I don't either. But I feel bad for Kim. And I feel bad that she has to have these conversations with her children that Kanye fathered with her. So this is an extremely difficult time for the immediate family as well. Back to the tweets and the nonsense. He was saying, I don't want to read them, but along the lines of, like, Me Too weren't real. They were fake and real, you know, fat women can't be sexually assaulted because how are you fat? No one wants to fuck you anyway. Only people that fuck fat women are broke dudes. Like, it's just nonsensical bullshit. Again, just going back to the hacky tantrum move that he's going for now. Like, these aren't hot, nuanced takes. They're just stupid, low-hanging fruit opinions that are so, like, even if you are a hack, they're so dumb that, like, these are too basic to even regurgitate. But again, Kanye is in a creative rut. He hasn't put out good music. He hasn't done anything relevant in the culture in years. And he's just grasping at straws. I guarantee you he wouldn't be doing this if he had a good record coming. You know what this tells me? He doesn't have shit coming musically or creatively. He doesn't have a song worth putting a headphone on for. He doesn't have an album in the tuck that's worth listening to. We're seeing now he's posting these stupid script Sean John shirts. Thanks, Kanye. You're 23 years late on that. He's doing that, and then he's also posting his latest of genius creation, a white shirt with a swastika. It's lame. You're corny. It's fucking stupid. And if you like this, you're a fucking loser. That's the way I want to address the people that agree with him and the people that, you know, this is the problem. When someone does this, I'm hoping most people that see it realize how stupid this is and how fucking lame these tactics are. But then you also have to be realistic. There are people that see this and feel like someone that has this big of an influence, this big of a pull, you're seeing someone get, you know, hundreds of thousands of retweets, likes, and whether or not you're sharing it for the idiocracy of it or you're sharing it, you know, my group chat, we've shared, like, can you believe, like, what is going on? Point is, it's being shared and it's being spread and it's coming across the phones and screens and faces of people that do believe these things and do feel like now, well, if Kanye's doing it publicly, I can do it publicly. It used to be something I reserved for me and my friend group. But if he's saying these things, like, who's going to stop me from going on Twitter and saying, I love Hitler? Or who's going to stop me from going on? It won't have the reach that Kanye is getting, but that statement, that ricochets, that'll rock the ecosystem, the cultural economy. It's the same tactic as Elon hitting the Sig Heil, which, you know, my heart goes out to you move that he's trying to, you know, rebrand as. The problem is when Elon did that, it's let people know that you can be comfortable doing this motion as well. You have a home here. It's safe here. I didn't get in trouble for it. I also just fucking ducked it and said, I don't know what you're talking about. Guess what? I've seen on my timeline. Again, I don't follow any of these stupid right-wing accounts. I've seen more people hit that fucking move than I have in the last, like, week, than I have probably since I've ever had a Twitter. I've seen the neo-Nazi fucking low-life assholes in Cincinnati rev up their trucks to get the jump in the back of a U-Haul. I don't know if anybody saw that. There was a standoff between neo-Nazis. It was like 10 or so of them. And they all hide their whole identity, the whole thing. We're so proud to be who we are, yet you hide every inch of your body when you're in public, you fucking coward. They're in all black garb with these stupid Oakleys that are choking their face, that dumbass glasses that Kanye can't stop wearing now. That's like step one to just like Terminator Nazi. It's like you throw that stupid thing over your face and it just cups the fat around your fucking elliptic cheeks. And you just become just an angry, just hate-driven being. these neo-Nazis are on a bridge, an overpass in Cincinnati in a black neighborhood, and the black people that live there are approaching them like, yo, get out of here. You're not welcome here. Go the fuck back to wherever you're from. And they're, you know, waving their swastika laden flags, and they're hitting the Sieg Heil, the my heart goes out to you. They're hitting that move that found its way on the inauguration stage. They're doing all the very things you see. It's the public, it's the personification of all the stuff we see on Twitter. And it's real. This stuff is happening, and it's really disheartening. There's always, I want to bring something to laugh at the beginning here. In moments of Kanye's outbursts, I always try to pay attention, or I find personally the most joy in the tweet moments of truth where he loses the plot for a second. He forgets what he's pushing. He forgets to tweet about Adolf Hitler and you know, whose sexual assaults count. In a moment of like when he just gets lost and he's, you know, he's a narcissist. He's thinking about himself. I love this. He tweeted this at 2:53 p.m. February 8th. I hate the photos of me looking overweight too. It's just nice to know that, like, even on the deepest level, there's still Kanye that we knew, past tense, and loved, also past tense, is still there. Just him, like, cutting through and being like, not too favorable of those photos of me when I look fat and chunky. And then at the same time, I'm going to show my woman's asshole on a red carpet. I'm nervous because I think Kanye, like the way in which Candace Owen used him to prop her nonsense rhetoric 5 years ago, I think Elon, Trump, whomever on the right-wing spectrum is Kanye's the perfect puppet. If you pay him, he'll play. And I think he's in an extremely vulnerable state right now for someone that I think has come to terms with the reality that he's not relevant in music. His time as a creative in general, it seems, has passed. I don't care. Well, Julian, he's made this amount of billions. How can you say that? You don't own shit. You don't do nothing. He's done those things. He's incredible. Kanye's still one of his music is some of my favorite music. Problem is, he's pushing 50. He hasn't done anything worthwhile in quite a long time. And this is the lowest barrier of entry is just become an extremist. And it works. The problem is it works. And the problem is he'll become a mouthpiece and push rhetoric for a lot of hate groups and a lot of hate people. And I think myself and people that I know, we look at it like, you know, when we talk amongst each other, it's all fun and games. Like, it's not funny because these things do have long-term ramifications. And whether it's, I don't think anything extreme will come from Kanye. I think people will take Kanye's words and feel the need to push, or maybe Kanye's the last push they need before they went out there. And maybe the gentleman in Cincinnati, the fucking loser asshole neo-Nazis in Cincinnati, maybe they saw this rant. It was like, oh shit, all right, fuck it, let's hit the streets. That's the danger. These tweets become real life action. But like most things with Ye, unfortunately, this is who he is. He's always been this guy. Don't give him the worst thing you can give a narcissist is attention, especially being positive. Well, actually, even negative attention. Any attention is too much attention. This is too much attention. But as the consumer and as the audience, just know there's no good song. There's no good album. There's no good anything creatively that'll dig him out of who he is. Kanye is a piece of shit. He's awful. Do not support. I mean, I feel like I do not have to tell you not to buy a shirt with a swastika on it. But do not support him in any way, and I just feel for his family. And no matter, you know, how wealthy they are, no matter how much influence they have, there are a lot of people's lives and a lot of people's mental faculties that are at stake here, especially as children. So thinking about your kids, I hope you get the help you need, man. We don't hear from you for a while. I think that's probably the best move. Well, it's officially over, right? This is it. The show ended with a game over. What's left? What could come of this? Obviously, I'm talking about Kendrick Lamar's halftime performance at one of the worst Super Bowls I've ever witnessed. We don't even need to talk about the game. Let's focus on the only remotely entertaining part of the show. I wanted to start this review by saying I'm going to go through the symbolism, which Kendrick did not hold out on at all, and the performance itself, where I do have some criticism for. Before we go anywhere, I do want to start by saying a quote from one of my favorite directors, film directors, Alfred Hitchcock. There is no horror in the bang, only in the anticipation. And that is exactly what Kendrick utilized throughout this entire show, with teasing the Not Like Us soundtrack, that haunting din, 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 over and over again about two or three times before the song actually played in full. I thought that was masterful, because where else can you go from there? That is the moment of the show. But before we get into that, before Kendrick even gets on the stage, we're introduced by our good old pal, Uncle Sam, played by Samuel Jackson. Now, if you're not familiar, Uncle Sam was this fictional character created by the government to represent its people and their ideas. Uncle Sam is supposed to be the uncle for America. He represents all of us. He is, in his first line, he comes out and says, "It's your Uncle Sam, and this is the great American game." So now you know he is the person that represents America. Obviously, he doesn't have the face of your traditional American. He's not a white man. But the point being is, he is the critique. He'll become the voice of the people as the show goes on. And then as the show goes on, in particular, after Squabble Up, he says this.
No, 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 no! Too loud, too reckless, too ghetto. Mr. Lamar, do you really know how to play the game? Then tighten up!
So his critiques and commentary play throughout, and again, his voice is supposed to be representative of the people of America itself. And then there's also another point after another record. He says, "Scorekeeper, I see you brought your homeboys with you. Deduct one life." This came after Kendrick did the display on the field, and like that X, the aerial shot, you could see he's inside this X, and it's with the red backgrounds, and they're all dancing. And I think "deduct one life" was quite literal. I think this is the case where, you know, put on our metaphor, like conspiracy metaphor hats, when an artist brings up their hood and their friends, and the, you know, powers it be, the Uncle Sams, see that there's too many of them getting brought up to the top, being brought up to success, take one out. You know, we can slowly, you know, take one. So I guess in this, like, take a Nipsey, he's got to go. And other successful artists, they got to go. You guys have gone too far. This isn't what we envisioned for you all. So then also there's another part after SZA sings and Samuel Jackson comes back out and he says, "This is what America wants." Meaning, obviously, the break from all the hip hop, all the rap, all the dance and the crip walking. SZA's voice just kind of cuts through like a knife through warm butter. And he's just speaking on behalf of the crowd in America at large, that this is what the people want. He says, let's not mess this up. And that's the last thing Samuel Jackson says before Not Like Us actually plays. They tease it a little bit. They do like the preamble and then actually get into the song itself. Interesting, right? Well, I don't want to dig too far. That was just a touch point on Uncle Sam's character throughout. Before we get to the performance, let's talk outfits. I don't think Kendrick misses a moment or misses an opportunity to use the outfit and use the costume as a symbol greater than, you know, just a performance piece. So the Gloria jacket, obviously Gloria is the final track on GNX, and the jacket, this is a varsity jacket, but the song itself is about internal struggles that explore redemption, faith, and personal exploration. I think that jacket is self-explanatory. Just go back and listen to Gloria on GNX, and I think you'll understand what that is supposed to represent. And the lowercase a chain, I did see a lot of people saying, "Look, he's wearing an A minor chain." It's not. It's, if you're familiar with PG Lang, his endeavor with Dave Free, that lowercase a is literally a part of their logo. With Kendrick, I don't think anything short of a double entendre, but I don't think he wore a, he has an A chain that's referring to PDFing. So I just don't see that happening. Lastly, before the performance itself, this is, I think, outside of this stuff we'll get into the performance, this was another direct shot at Drake.
Ladies, yes, I want to make a move. For sure. I want to perform their favorite song, but you know they love the suit. What song? Yeah, that song. Maybe I think about it. Oh, no.
He says, you know, I want to perform their favorite song, but you know they love the suit. I think, and this is where the performance for me kind of gets lost in, you could tell, it seems like Kendrick's set out here to really put the nail in the coffin. And 3 seconds into the performance, I watched it with a group of friends. I went to a friend's apartment. We were watching it all together. And rather quickly, I said, I don't think I'm going to enjoy this. And they're like, why? I said, well, with hip hop shows in particular at this scale, Kendrick was just doing backtracks and like house production. Hip hop, especially in that setting, when you're trying to win over a specific crowd and just that large of an arena, you need to be overstimulating. I think like being in New Orleans, not having a live band, a marching band at that, or any live percussions is tough. I really think he should have put, they should have put effort into having a band or something filling the stage or filling the field during the performance. The risk Kendrick took on the show itself, he didn't use it as a legacy nostalgia play, which is a choice for sure. He came out with the first song was a new record, an unreleased record. He then carried most of the show with GNX. We saw only the few songs, the older nostalgic songs with SZA. Which again is a choice. I've seen a lot of people champion that. I don't know. I'm kind of torn between the two. I think this was Kendrick saying like, this moment is about this album, and this is about this album and specifically one person, and I'm making it about that and them, and we're going to carry on as if that's the mission. And if that was his goal, then sure. I just personally, that didn't do it for me. No live instruments was tough. No integration of the crowd. I really think that there's power in letting people rush the field, letting there be some filler of space, giving the thing more of a scale. When they would do the aerial shots, so much of it was just enclosed in these things that were made on the field, like the X's and the other things that the dancers and Kendrick were standing in. It kind of had like a hamster cage effect, where they were enclosed in these walls. And then when they would punch out and you would see the scale of it, I would imagine it would be a difficult experience if you're in the stadium itself, because you're staring, you know, say you're on the left field and you're staring all the way across. It's just performance wise, I don't think it was a great look. There wasn't too much integration of the crowd, even with the light show. The only light show that they showed us at least was that final shot of Game Over, which, there was no fireworks. It was very driven by GNX. And I think Kendrick made it a point to drive it home. I think it's safe to say this was directed. He put a lot of focus in this, directing it directly to Drake. With the saying his name on the stage, staring into the camera with that sinister grin, getting Serena Williams, obviously an ex that Drake had. They had a massive public fallout that played a part in records, and it seems to be haunting Drake throughout his romantic life. Having her just pop up for the Crip Walk scene with the biggest grin on her face, draped in all blue. It just seemed like so much of it was about Drake. And I know that Drake stans will say, well, there you go, Kendrick wouldn't be here without Drake. I don't think we would have had a performance like this without Drake. I think that's true. I think Kendrick is capable and could do a Super Bowl without this incident having to play this at large. But it was telling. Kendrick hates that man. He really hates that man. But the interesting thing with hate is it can also become a great unifier. Dayfree and Kendrick's relationship with Top Dog was awful and horribly fractured by the time they came together at TDE, by the time it ended at TDE. And Drake's, the mutual disdain for Drake became this great unifier between them. So it's brought them to more collaborations with SZA. It's brought, I think, Kendrick and Dayfree closer with Top and TDE again, which is interesting. But I think the Kendrick never misses on metaphors and symbolism, and that carried through. The Uncle Sam character to me was interesting, and I did like how it kind of paced like a play. The theater kid in me thought that was interesting. Again, the teasing of Not Like Us was very good. I liked that. But everyone just wanted that moment, and I think everything leading up to that moment was a little subpar. I think the last 2-3 minutes, if at all, was by far the best part of the show, because it's, again, to the Hitchcock reference, it's the bang It's the anticipation. It's the release. It's what we wanted. Overall, I would give this show about a 5, maybe even a 4.5 out of 10. The thing is, I've seen Kendrick do live shows that are significantly better. I was at his return show in Day in Vegas a few years ago. We've seen him do Grammy performances that, you know, held more weight and seemed to be more theatrical and more encapsulating. I just think this moment may have just been tainted by Not Like Us obviously being the biggest tool for this performance, but in turn has also seemed to be the biggest deterrent for me, and I think other fans alike. I'm seeing the, you know, the metaphor warriors, everyone that can break down everything Kendrick's ever done and say, you know, he's a genius. He's throwing mud in the face of the colonizer. If you want to take that angle, that's awesome. And I support you, and I'm happy if you feel that way. It's just funny when that's the angle people leverage when it still is. I mean, it is a Super Bowl halftime show. There's a lot of money from the very colonizers at play and these big bank and these big money corporations. Really excited to see what's next for Kendrick. I'm curious how literal this game over is. Is it actually over? Will we hear about it? I don't expect Drake and P&D to talk about any of this on their upcoming album this Friday, but will we hear more from either of these two parties in the future? I don't think this is something that's just put a bow on and it's over. I do think it's safe to say, and I'll keep repeating this, it's safe to say that Drake, yes, you lost the beef. He's well aware of that. But, you know, Drake is Drake. There's always room to come back. There's always room to be the biggest artist, which honestly, even throughout this, you still are. If we're looking at numbers, which we don't care too much about numbers, but sure, that matters when you need to bring them up. And Kendrick, I'm curious to see what's next. Will hate fuel your next project? Will you stick to this West Coast sound? Will you continue to collaborate with younger West Coast artists alike and producers and continue to seem like put more people on? I think there's a lot to see. I think a lot of the interesting stuff starts now. The further we get removed from this beef, the more I'm interested in seeing where both of their careers go. Let's have some fun. If you're not familiar, if you're not on the timeline, there's the video I'm about to play is this guy Montoya, who's watching his girl hook up with another guy on this show. And there's context to this. Apparently they were trading shots, so to speak, meaning that the gentleman that's getting cheated on had cheated on his girl, and there was another video of her like twerking on this guy in a pool. Like, they're just, it's just a mess. They don't belong together, but guess what? It makes amazing television, so we're gonna watch. They put out a recent video of the video went viral in Spanish, which is awesome because it hit like Black Twitter and Twitter just in the States. And obviously many people here don't speak Spanish, but you can feel the emotion. Everyone's saying it channels that like R&B, a real R&B album, a real R&B music video. You'll see here if you're watching on YouTube, but let's play this. And there are subtitles. I'll read over the subtitles so you can understand if you're listening audio, what's going on in English. So right now, currently the setup is we're watching Montoya, who's on a beach with another woman, not any woman that he's sexually romantic with. He's watching on television the live camera footage of his girlfriend cheating on him in real time with this other guy. Okay, so let's play. So right now we're seeing the guy licking his girl's face. Montoya says, I'm ashamed of her. This is disgusting. This is disgusting. You're going to regret this, honey. You destroyed my life. Cry with that little shit. This is what you want in your life? She asks. So now we're in the camera. We're in the bedroom. She asked the guy she's cheating with, are we going to sleep? He said, sí. There is no turning point. She does it as a revenge. I don't want to hear this. So now here's where the shit gets. Guys, this is cinema. This is beautiful cinema. So the woman is pleading, Montoya, sit down. Okay, I'm going to go watch. Montoya says, nah, fuck all that. We got to break into this room. He comes back. He's not going yet. This is disgusting. You're always going to regret this. And then he says, enjoy it 3 times. You've broken me. Now Montoya's on his knees. This man has hit his knees. Guess what's now? He's yanking on his shorts, pulling the meat out. Pause. This guy. I can't see this. calls her a bitch. And here he comes. Boom. He's running down the shoreline. Mind you, it's a storm is happening. Oh, this poor gentleman. And now we're seeing that it's like Maury's show with the cameraman is chasing him down the beach. His shirt's wide open now. He's saying, "You destroyed me." He's yelling at the top of his lungs. Homegirl is getting her cakes blam. She's riding him, the guy. We got a quick pan shot of two naked people in a jacuzzi for some reason. And it seems like, at least the way it's cut, that the people having sex, his girlfriend and the man she's cheating on him with, hear him screaming in the background, and then it goes cut and scene. This is cinema. This is where has television like this been? Where has reality TV gone? Reality TV, I'm not going to poo-poo. Love is Blind has been fucking great. But other than that, it seems like it's been in the gutter, especially in terms of like cheating and hooking up with random people. This is Spanish cinema, man. This reminds me of Alfred Hitchcock used to do, I forget which film it is, but he framed everything so well, where everything in itself could have been a painting or a picturesque photo. There's something about Montoya running down the beach with the lightning and the waves crashing. There's a scene in a Hitchcock film. Damn, it's going to bother me. I don't remember the name. But the gentleman and the female love interest are making out in front of, I believe it's the Golden Gate Bridge, and where the shore, like the rocks break, and you just see the waves. The waves are crashing, and as they're kissing, it just is right when their lips meet, the waves crash and shoot up the side of the rock, and it's so picturesque. He also, you know, the fireworks going on. It's very cinematic, very overly produced, but in a romantic way. This is just Montoya. This is Montoya's truth. And this is just, what a beautiful day in Twitter. This might be the crash out of the year. You're seeing this has hit the level of it's funny saying crash of the year after coming off of that Kanye conversation, but this is a fun one. But you're seeing the level of like brands jumping on this. I'm looking at a tweet from the San Francisco 49ers. We're looking at a tweet from the Boston Celtics of Peyton Pritchard hitting a three, and they're captioning it, "Montoya, por favor," against the Knicks. First of all, fuck you, Celtics. You had to beat the shit out of my Knicks the other night. That was a really awful watch. I met up with some friends to watch the Knicks. We got blown out by like 30. It's not worth getting into. We're not the team I thought we were. But this has hit like the threshold of I'm looking at soccer clubs are posting this. I mean, this is fucking like Mario dubs and AI creations. This is what the internet's made for. This is what Twitter should be used for. This kind of stuff. The jokes. Everyone's been a Montoya at some point. And I don't mean that by you've explicitly seen your girl getting fucked by another guy. I don't mean to that extreme. But everyone's been in a love-struck triangle or in a situation where they feel like they've lost the grip on their relationship. And whether or not you see... I mean, seeing your girl get clapped on a television... you're on a TV show, but seeing your girl get fucked while you're standing on a beach with a TV propped up in the dunes, the sand dunes, and you're just, I mean, talk about pain. This is the problem with TV, is like the homie's reacting live to this. This is news to him as much as it is for us. And to see him just standing in this like beautiful, picturesque background with this other girl, Sandra, shout out to her. I mean, she provided the line of the clip. This is insane. Homie drops down to his knees. The TV itself is dressed in like these plants. It's made to, you know, look like it's a part of nature when there's just a massive LED, like 16 screen sticking out of what seems to be like a birds of paradise. We have these two straw chairs over here, the waves just rolling in the background where we see the brake line. I mean, it's beautiful. But it's just this, with all this beauty comes so much pain. What's beauty without pain? I think that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at the cycle of life and the cycle of love. I guess the U.S. Open is tweeting about this. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, at this point, I think we're even past talking about it. But I mean, this is what the internet was made for. This is what Twitter is built for. Do more of this. We need more Montoyas less neo-Nazi anti-Semitic rants. How about that? Can we agree on that, Twitter? How about we do more of men getting their heart broken and running down the beach fresh out of the 90s R&B record out music video? Less men in Cincinnati covering every inch of their body, jumping in the back of a U-Haul and screaming the N-word at the top of their lungs. How about that? I think everyone would love to see more Montoyas and less right-wing neo-Nazis. Let's start a new trend, guys. Go out there, break somebody's heart, run down a beach, film it. It's fun. It's content. Life goes on. All right, it's that time of the episode. Let's get into some voicemails. And before we get into them, please remember, call this number, 877-557-SWWP, to get in contact with me, your intrusive thought therapist.
Hey, Julian, it's Chris. Been watching you since the Rory Mall podcast, of course, but I have a question. So I'm stuck in between two people. I'm gay, by the way, or bisexual, I guess, but I'm talking about two dudes.
Nice.
One does a lot for me, and the other one, he kind of, I guess.
Wait a minute. He said he's stuck between two people. Ayo! That's, sorry. It's funny, knowing what we know now.
I guess you can say he uses me. But the one that does a lot for me, I am not into them anymore. He's my ex, but he wants to be something more, but I'm just not into him anymore, physically, mentally. But the one who doesn't want to be with me, I guess you can say,
of course you want him more.
I'm all in for him. I just want to know how to go about that. I'm very, very confused, Julian, on what to do. Because if it's an option to, I don't really have to be with neither, I guess I would be with neither.
Well, you know what, Chris? The crazy thing is, that is an option. You don't have to be with either of them. The world's large. There's plenty of men out there. I think you seem to have limited yourself to just these two options as if they're the only two. That's not the case. I feel like ultimately that'll be our fix, but let's go through this here. Let's pick out some of these things that you said. So you're all in on the one guy that doesn't want you, and gay, straight, bi, whatever your love preference is, that is the most common, most like everyone's gone through that experience. Everybody is into the person that doesn't want them. And it seems like they're stuck. That's a bad word. I mean, you said you're stuck with someone that seems to care about you and someone that you at one point cared about as well. To me, this is a classic case of idealism where basically like you have your boyfriend, your ex, the one that likes you. You have him in like this. He's your guy. But the guy you're chasing seems so far away. So what idealism is, basically you've created a version of this guy, the one that has no interest in you. And so now when you're with your ex, the one that's giving you the attention, you're assuming the guy that's ghosting you or the guy's not giving you any attention has all of these tendencies, does all the right things, can make up for all of the guy you're seeing's discrepancies, everything that he lacks. The guy that you can have, you're assuming has those things. You're projecting a better version of this guy than the person you have that's already with you. And I'll tell you what, maybe that's true. Maybe the other guy, the dream man, is better. Could be. Could have a better six pack. Could, you know, be a better cuddler. He could be a better listener. He could have better taste in food. All those things could be true. Or you could be making them up. But point is, homie doesn't want you. He doesn't want you. This perfect, the idealistic man that you've created doesn't seem to care about being romantic or being in a relationship with you. But that doesn't mean you have to be with the guy that no longer is making you happy either. You said he's your ex. He's an ex for a reason. I'm not sure why it fell out, but clearly something didn't work. You don't need to choose between these two men. Go be free. Find someone new. untether yourself from these two guys. I don't, you're so much more than what you see between these two guys. So let's see, what else did you say? I'm not into him anymore. He's my ex, but he wants something more serious. Your ex just wants to get back with you, and you don't. Be firm in that. Say no. Say, look, maybe I'm comfortable having a friendship, and obviously I like talking to you. I don't want to be romantic. I don't want to go down this road with you again. Tell him no. And for the other guy, either you fucking go for it. I don't know what that looks like. Invite him to the sauna. Eh? Go for it. Or let him go. Because you in bed at night, or you know, when you're daydreaming at work, thinking of this guy and thinking that he's the perfect man and makes up for all the things that your ex lacks, you don't know if that shit's true, and it's probably not true. It's probably not. This guy, I'm not calling him a loser, a piece of shit, but he's probably not the best. Everyone has their flaws, is what I'm saying. Everyone has their shortcomings. Everyone has things that they need to work on and improve on. And it's really, really easy for us to assume that that person has all those things figured out when we literally don't know them. It's like, well, the girl that I was just dating, she was great, but she has these really bad habits that I don't like. But the girl that I'm attracted to, I don't know her at all. I'm just going to assume, because it's better for me to assume that she doesn't have any of those bad habits that the girl I'm dating currently does. It's everyone thinks like that. Everyone does it, you know, especially when you're your only benchmark of who this person is what, their Instagram or a social media where they're sharing the best version of who they are. You're seeing them at their hottest, their best looking, their funniest when they're like replying in comments. Like that's not who they are on a Monday. That's not who they are on a Sunday being hungover. Like you're only seeing the perfect version of this guy that you want, Chris. And I think you need to either swing, go for it, and just ask him plainly, like, hey, let's go on a date. Let's see if this can work. But at the same time, you shouldn't drag your ex through the mud, man. Free him. Free you. Free the guy, Chris. Find someone else. Valentine's Day is, what is it? Friday. It's in a few days. Find someone, man. Find someone new. I don't know if you're a top or bottom. Doesn't matter. Clap some cheeks or get your cheeks clapped. I just think you're better than both of these guys. Or bring them together. You said you're stuck in the middle. Yeah, you could just get stuck in the middle. Good luck to you, Chris. I hope this works out for you. And happy early Valentine's Day. Let's take another call.
What up, Julian? Fuck with the pod, man.
Thank you.
I guess I'm just really at a crossroads. I just got a new job. Honestly, I'm a little underqualified for it. And my mom is my boss.
Ooh. Okay, there's a lot more here, but imposter syndrome is not anything. Everyone's experienced that. Mom being a boss, a little different, but let's go.
So she's been kind of teaching me. Well, unfortunately, she is probably going to be let go from the company.
Ooh.
And to be honest, I don't know what to do, man. Like, it's a big raise for my old job pay-wise, but I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. And to be honest, I feel way in over my head. I just, even not so much this situation, but like, what do you say to someone that just feels lost? Like, I'm about to turn 25. I have a good girlfriend. Been together for 3 years this month.
Congrats.
You know, we live together in an apartment. Things are going well. I just feel very unsatisfied on the career side. I played college football, but I didn't finish my degree. And I don't know, man. I feel lost. I'm not really sure where to go from here. I don't know. Do I go back to my old job? Should I look for something new? Because, I mean, to be honest, if she goes, I'm probably going to get fired or canned for not knowing what the fuck I'm doing, dude. But I appreciate you. Thank you.
Oh, geez, man. Well, this is interesting. I think your mom tried to do you a solid, as any good mom. Like, hey, you make good money here. Come into this company. Obviously, her getting fired was not a part of the plan. You said you're not qualified. I mean, any new job has a learning curve. And I think you need to give yourself grace to figure out, I don't know what the job is, but I think you need to give yourself grace to get acclimated, coming from any job, or if it's either, and if it's a lateral move or whatever the case may be, there's new systems, new people, new everything. And I think the mindset that you currently have is bad, in the sense that you're counting yourself out before you really give it a fair shake and you give this a chance. The mom getting fired is rough. I don't blame you for thinking if she's getting fired, I'm probably next, because obviously I'm sure it's safe to assume she's a huge reason why you were even at this company. And it, based on what you're saying, you are underqualified. If that is the case, let's assume it's the worst. Let's assume you're underqualified, you can't do this job, and now your mom's not there, and you know your time's ticking. Then treat it for that. You said you're making much better money here. Know that this money isn't going to last, because it seems, assuming this job is going to come to an end, bank this money. Take this as like bonus money, whatever you were making at your previous job, whatever this is making up for in increased income. That's not like, don't use that as like fun money. Bank that shit, because I think you're probably going to happen here is, while you have this job, you should be looking for other jobs. Do not coast because you're currently employed. Look for other jobs. Maybe your mom can even help you with that too. I'm sure she's looking as well. Look for other roles, and stack your money. Those are the first two things you need to do immediately. But considering you still have this job, don't give up on yourself because you feel like you're unqualified. I've taken jobs. When I started the record label, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I felt underqualified. But you learn. They hired you for a reason, even if the reason is your mom probably hooked it up. But point is, you have the job. You're smart enough to get whatever they need done. Nothing is beyond reach. Ask your mom. Even though she's not there, I'm sure she could give you tools and give you resources and help you how to get this work done. Use Google. I learned all this tech, back-end video editing software. I didn't go to school for this. All YouTube Academy. Use resources, man. Don't feel like you're left alone. Don't give up on yourself because you feel like you're not in a position to... You feel like you can't play ball at this level. You can. You're there. You're in the game. Play. You know, warm up to it. You're a college athlete. I'm sure you played against teams or lined up against guys that were bigger, stronger, you know, better prospects, whatever. But you still have to play the game. Once that quarterback yells hike, the snap goes on. If you feel lesser than, or if you like, you know, your line, I don't know what position you played, but say you're a tight end and you're lined up and you know the guy across from you is just signed to he's going to Alabama, dude. This guy is one of the best in the world. He's at the Pro Bowl currently. He's probably in the Super Bowl. But even in that moment, you need to look at that guy in his face, face to face. And as soon as that ball gets hiked, guess what? You still have to block the edge. You still have to throw your body into this guy. Pause. You need to get the job done. You're there. Get the job done, man. But be smart about it. Know this isn't permanent. While you're there, like I said, stack your bread. That's not fun money. You might need that money for a while. Stack your bread and keep looking for another role. But don't give up on this role. Make this get what you can out of this, even no matter how short or temporary. In terms of you being unsatisfied on the career side, that's life. Unfortunately, for me as well, for a lot of people. You said you didn't finish your degree. I don't think going back to school would be bad, or at least having a degree, whether it be online or however you get that accomplished. Do I go back to my old job? Did you like your old job? I don't know. Like, I don't know what the terms you left on your old job. I would assume you left because you wanted more responsibility and more money, which seems like you have. Not every time someone goes back to your old job is it necessarily regressing. I think sometimes you can go back as like a reset. It's comfortable, and then continue to build. I just don't think you should go back because it's easy. If you're looking for something easy, you shouldn't go back. Never go to something easy. Go to something that will advance your career, challenge you in a positive way, and obviously cover your bills, and you have a girlfriend there you've been 3 years with, like, give you enough money to support yourself and also do nice things for her. Should I look into something new? I don't know. We don't have the specifics on what career you're in or what job you've taken, but it sounds like based on what you're saying, you might need a little refresher. You might need to jolt your system. Why not float around, look at something else? This could be your 25. This is that time to have that conversation with yourself. Like, what am I passionate about? What do I care about? And what, not only what do I care about in my personal life, but what do I care about career-wise? What do I want to make a difference in? What kind of impact do I want to have? I think it's time to have that. Lean on people in your life, your mom for those conversations. Lean on your girl for those conversations. Ask the people in your life. Don't feel like you need to live this experience alone. Wishing you the best, man. Thank you for calling in. I'd love to have an update. If you get fired or whatever happens next, just know it'll all work out, man. And I'm here for you if you ever need any more advice. All right, everybody. That's the fourth episode of Something Wrong with the Podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. Really happy that you were able to listen to me break down the Super Bowl performance and have a, you know, positive and critical reception of the performance. Who would have thought in hip hop we can understand both sides of what's going on without being overly emotional and irrational and yelling at people? What a take. I also want to thank Montoya and further Montoyas that are out there. Please keep being yourself. The world needs more Montoyas. And the world needs far less people like Kanye. Someone get into his account, delete his tweets, delete his account, period. I will be going live on YouTube and Twitch throughout the week. Please turn on those notifications because I do not always post on socials when I am live. And I would love for you to be there for those conversations and those questions. Those are always a good hang. If you're not there, then I'll see you next week. Same time, Tuesday, 10 a.m. on YouTube, 4 a.m. audio. Have a great week. Peace. Something wrong with the pussy. Something wrong with the pussy.